Good evening. Thank you. My name is Emily Robbins, and I'm the Director of Youth Ministries here, if you don't know me. And I am honored to welcome you to West End United Methodist Wednesday Night Encounter Worship Experience. And I'm grateful for those of you that are here in person and also those of you that are at home online. Our theme for our current series has been about healing. And just for those of you to know, we will meet one more week next week, and then we'll take a break during the week of Thanksgiving and return on November 30th. So don't show up the week of Thanksgiving because we won't be here. I'm going to be sharing tonight about grief and ways to care for ourselves as we enter the holiday season. And I'm not sure, we have an image that may show up at some point tonight, and it is a painting by a man named Scott Erickson, who is also known as Scott the Painter. He shows up at a lot of events and paints while a speaker is actually speaking, if you've ever seen somebody do that. And he has graciously allowed us to use this image this evening. And he's somebody who uses his art to help himself express his faith. And I did want to say, if you are looking for an Advent reading for December, I recommend the book Honest Faith. Honest Advent, sorry, and I have a copy if you want to look at it before you leave this evening, but there's 25 readings for Advent and for Christmas, and again, he uses art as a way to kind of express or understand Advent. And that's a way we can help support him, because he just said, use the image. Whew. I'm a little nervous. So now Matt will lead us in our opening hymn, How Can I Keep From Singing?
Storm can shake my inmost calm, while to
Today is a day to sing praise to God. God continually blesses us each and every day. Even in the midst of cold and darkness, the warmth of God's love is real. We can count on God to be here for us. Let your hearts rejoice and your voices shout praise to God, for God is great and worthy to be praised. Amen. So this evening, I'm going to lead us in a responsive reading of Psalm 27, which you will find on your second sheet. I chose this psalm because I led our youth fall retreat based on Psalm 27 this past weekend. And we talked about the ways that God's goodness shows up and how we notice where God's goodness is in our life with grief or hardship, when life gets messy. So as we read this psalm, notice what words or phrases jump out to you. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And our scripture today is from Acts 9, 36 through 43, which I will read for us. You all actually were digging into Acts a couple weeks ago, so we're taking on the back end of it this time. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who were there, they heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I see my image is up. The image of growth coming out of something hard or death. Grief and healing. I'm somebody who lives with grief. About a year and a half ago, I finally accepted that my husband and I were not going to have children, and we let go of that dream. And I'll be really honest, it's been gutting. One of the ways that I hoped to start my healing journey was looking for community. So I started to look for other people in my life and online who were also childless by circumstance, which means people who wanted to have children, but it didn't happen for many different reasons. And I'll be honest, I was stunned to find very little. We don't talk about childless women. We don't talk about the grief of childless women. Our culture, and honestly sometimes the church, doesn't know what to do with women who don't have children. which led me to a term called disenfranchised grief. Have any of you heard of that term before? No and yes. Disenfranchised grief is generally grief that is not openly acknowledged, socially accepted, or publicly mourned. I'm going to read that again. Disenfranchised grief is generally grief that is not openly acknowledged, socially accepted, or publicly mourned. My grief is a disenfranchised grief, which finding that helped me understand that there was a bigger way to be within grief than just the term grief. Many of us live with disenfranchised grief and we don't know what to do with it. Some of us don't even know that we are living with it. Again, in our culture, we don't know quite what to do with grief. So I shared a bit of my story so you would understand why I'm so passionate about coming alongside others who live with grief, especially disenfranchised grief. Disenfranchised grief for you could look like having lost a loved one, but also losing a friend because they don't have patience for you while you grieve. Many times, empathy runs out long before grief will. Disenfranchised grief can be a loss of a pet, a job change, a move to a new location. And one thing that I think many of us may be living with is that we've all come through 2 years of a pandemic, and this season, this upcoming holiday season, will be the one that is mostly normal like it was in 2019, which is kind of crazy, right? Having gone on a youth retreat this past weekend, it was the first time I've done a two-night youth retreat since 2019. So it feels weird to be coming back into these things. So if we're experiencing this holiday season, and it should feel normal, but there's going to be seats that are empty. There's a lot of new people in some of our seats. We may have different jobs or look at our country in a new way and not even know how this holiday season can affect us. This is also grief. And for some of us, it is disenfranchised grief. So what I want to do is share some ways for you to just kind of think through as you go into this holiday season to prepare. And some of you may need to hear this so you can come alongside somebody else. In Acts, we read about a community that was grieving, and I want to pull some of the ways that the disciples came together when Dorcas died for us to learn from. So number one, make a plan. They heard Peter was in the neighboring city, so they made a decision, and then the disciples asked two men to go and get him. So think about for you, what, where, who feels safe for you this next month and a half? It doesn't have to look like it did back in 2019. Pick the traditions and events that feel good to you and let go of the ones that don't. Find new ways to experience joy when that feels good for you. And plan to offer grace for yourself if and when grief shows up in unexpected ways. I call grief that shows up in unexpected ways a grief bomb. You're fine one moment and the next you're not, and you're not really sure what happened. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's just grief. Make a plan that works for you. Number two, ask for help. The disciples traveled to Peter and asked him to come and help. And when Peter got there, he also got on his knees and he asked for God's help. Again, we don't like to ask for help. There seems to be something that feels less than in doing that. It is okay to ask for help. Tell someone if you might need support this season. It is okay to ask. If you want to start a new tradition, but you don't want to do it by yourself, invite your family or friends to join you. And like I said before, some of us living with grief may not want to burden others, which is something we should work on. But if you know someone who may be living with grief, this would be a beautiful time to reach out for them, not to tell them what to do, not to tell them how to feel, but just to say, hey, I'm here to be with you if you need it. Peter was asked, and he showed up. Number three, set boundaries. Peter told other people to get out of the room before he prayed for her. And I'm sure some of them were like, but that's my person. Why do I have to go? But he told them to get out. It is okay to set boundaries. Boundaries are for you, not against somebody else. And so if you have some family member or event that you're thinking maybe this isn't the year that I want to participate in that, it is okay to say we're not coming this year. If you need to say no to events, if you need to say no to talking about your grief or anything else that you don't feel comfortable talking about, you can leave an event early or you could go for a walk and then come back. Set boundaries. And number four, tell stories and remember. The women told stories about Dorcas when Peter arrived. They shared ways that they were impacted by her life and gifts. If it makes sense for your grief experience, then tell stories about loved ones and memories. One of the things that I am grieving is passing down recipes. My mother and my family cook and bake a lot, and I won't have a child to share these with. So I'm hosting a recipe exchange in December with other childless women that I have met to pass these recipes with them and to tell stories. Tell your stories, write your stories, because your stories matter. So those are my four things. Make a plan, ask for help, set boundaries, and then tell stories. Now the scripture tells us that Peter prays and then he commands Tabitha to get up and she gets up. As we talk about grief, I wish I had the words to say to make grief go away. But what we can do is learn to live with the grief in new ways. What have we learned over the past 2 years? What have we learned about being in community? What have we learned about spending time by ourselves? We can also notice where God is with us. We can take courage when we notice where God is doing a new thing in the midst of grief, just like this image on the screen. One practice that I've learned to live with over the last year, actually started this in November last year, is noticing simple moments of joy each day. I call them hashtag pockets of joy. And so this practice constantly reminds me that God is with me and you in both the grief and the joy. I'm going to reread Psalm 27, just verses 13 and 14. And after I read it, we're going to enter into a reflection time. Matt's going to play while you are invited to, I'm going to stretch you here. You ready for this? I'm going to invite you to write a 5-line prayer poem as a response to our evening. What is something that you want to lift up? What is some way that you've noticed God in the grief and the joy? What is something that you're taking away from this evening? Or just something that inspires you? Your simple prayer poem will have 5 lines. The first line will have 1 word. This is not hard. The youth did it. I promise you can. First line has 1 word. The second line has 2 words. The third line has 3 words. Fourth line, guess what? 4 words. And then this is where it gets tricky. Fifth line, just back to 1 word. Okay? I wrote one earlier today as an example so you can hear how this works. So grief, disenfranchised grief, not always noticed, but I will name hope. So let's take a deep breath in and listen to Psalm 27, 13 and 14, and then Matt will start playing. Let's breathe in one more time. Feel your body. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Thank you. If you are willing, I would love for you to share your prayer poem with us as our closing prayer together. You would read it out loud, and then we will respond with, "Lord, hear our prayer." If you are at home and you want to type it in where you are watching, that would be amazing as well. And I will go and look and see those later. Is there someone who's willing to start us off? I realize this could feel a little risky. Yes? All right, Bonnie. So when Bonnie finishes hers, we will say, "Lord, hear our prayer," and then I'll wait for a few minutes and see if anybody else is willing to share, and if not, I will read mine, and then we will move on. Lord, hear our prayer.
Thank the Lord for church family. Carry me through grief forever.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Okay, pray for people, pray for the church, pray for West End, and pray for a good father.
Lord, hear our prayer. Anyone else? Notice, tendrils grow. Why not here? Growth in new ways. Realign. Lord, hear our prayer. And now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before our closing hymn, my benediction is actually a poem. I'll be honest, I actually don't like poetry, so who knows what... why I've been so inspired. This is a new thing for me. This poem is called This Poem Should Be a Circle by Mark Nepo. I wish you the ability to breathe after pain, to begin again, though nothing else seems possible. I wish you resilience to part like the ocean and accept like the sky, to be held like a root. I wish you survival, to take in life like a trapped miner, finding an air hole and praising it as holy. I wish you courage to ask of everything you meet, what bridge are we? I wish you chances to listen to all that holds us up. I wish you the kindness that you are, coming to brighten your face like orange leaves scattered at the end of fall. I wish you endless journey that seldom appears as we imagine. I wish you curiosity to make a boat of wonder and an oar of gratitude. Please stand for our closing hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
here and take courage to notice where God shows up with you in the grief and the joy throughout this upcoming holiday season. Amen.